If you're tuning in, it's good to have you tuning in tonight. I want to share with you just a thought. I was watching last night, I was watching a little bit on TV about the RNC convention, and I was watching a fella that had been a bank robber that had went to prison. I think he said he went to prison for 20-some years. And he'd gotten saved while he was in prison. Now, there's a lot of people goes to prison. They make a claim of salvation to try to get this advantage or that advantage. But this guy appeared to me, listening to him, was a real deal. And when he got out, he called the FBI agent who had found him and helped prosecute him and ask him if he could have dinner. They became best friends. And he'd started an agency to try to help people that got out of prison to get on the right foot. And President Trump, he didn't know this, but then President Trump gave him a full pardon. Erased everything. Now, I got thinking last night, that's exactly what God does for us. You know, some people says, I wonder what my purpose in life is. I can tell you what your purpose in life is. There's a fellow wrote a book one time, and I was trying to think of the name of it. I went blank. And I've got it and read through it many times. I'll think of it here in a moment. But he said, the first chapter, he said, man's chief end is to glorify God. I can tell you that your purpose of what God wants you to do is to glorify God out of your life. Now listen to me a minute. I don't care what you obtain. What you do, but if you finish life and none of it has been used to glorify God, you have completely missed your purpose in life. Somebody said, well, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a scientist, or I want to be something big and make my name. God wants you to glorify Him. Not everybody's called to do great ministries, but it's amazing how many people in the Bible is recorded. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 here, we have a whole host of people that only had one thing, faith. They just believed what God had said, and they faced things in life trusting in what God had said. And the Bible tells us in the very beginning of this chapter, in verse number 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is not something that God's going to show you. I had people tell me, you know, I told God that if He would give me a sign in the sky, I would know that He's asking me to do this. That's not the way God operates. What God does is He has taken His word. He speaks to you through His word. Now, let me say this. Now, listen to me. If you're never anywhere in your life where you heed His word, where you're reading His word, listening to His word, you're going to miss out on your purpose of life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore, God uses His word to speak to our hearts and give us direction. And the Bible says in verse number 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. I have people tell me sometimes, I'm doing my best to please God. Not without faith, you're not. And faith is reacting to the Word of God and trusting the Word of God and letting the Word of God, even though you can't see what the Word of God says He would do, you trust it to such a degree that you believe it as if it was real enough that you could reach out and it was a substance, like you could touch it. A good example is just believing in heaven. I've never been to heaven. I hope to go there one of these days. I plan on going there one of these days, and I can emphatically say I am going there one of these days. The reason why I can emphatically say that is not because of who I am, but because of what the Word of God has said. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which He's committed to me against that day. And so I believe that when I close my eyes in death, I will be in the presence of the Lord, only because of the precious blood of Jesus. So this morning, or evening, I want you to listen just a few moments. I just want to bring a couple things out, but I want to look at one of these people of faith. Now there's all kinds. As a matter of fact, there's many of them that's not even listed. But tonight we're going to look at Moses. Now Moses was a great man. He did a great task. As a matter of fact, the Bible said there was no other prophet greater than Moses. He was a great prophet, and God used him mightily to do some things. And you say, well, I'm no Moses. But how many times do you read in the Bible, just like with Naaman, the little girl that was at his house? Or how many times have you read just a little boy bringing a lunch? It's amazing how that God may use you in different things in life. And so stay with me a moment. Let's look at a couple of things, if you would. Begin reading, if you would, in verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now let me stop right there without spending a lot of time on the history, because most of you know the history. Joseph had went over to Egypt. Joseph had been able to tell Pharaoh what his dreams meant because God gave him the interpretation of some dreams he had. And because of Joseph's ability to connect with God and have God to reveal that to Pharaoh, then Joseph advised Pharaoh what to do, and it enriched Pharaoh and Egypt during that time. And so Joseph found great favor in Pharaoh's eyes. And so as time went on, Joseph's family was brought over, and Joseph's family was left there, and they were able to stay there and not have to pay tribute or taxes because of what Joseph had meant to Egypt. But as time went on, new pharaohs come, and then they begin to grow and multiply. And Israel kind of kept to themselves with their customs and religion. And then they began to become a threat. And they turned them into slaves. And you know the story. And they continued to grow and continued to be a threat, where Pharaoh decreed that there was no boys to be born. That if they were boys be born, they would take the boys and throw them in the river. Now, Pharaoh is always a type of the devil. And let me say this. I don't know if any of you watched last night, but listening to that woman that used to be with Planned Parenthood, and she supported abortions, and she began to watch, she began to learn. Then they begin to make demands that she try to double up on her abortions and so forth. And she saw that they were nothing but numbers. And she turned from that. And she had a great testimony. But listen to me. Everybody listen. Just as Pharaoh was the type of the devil back then, anytime that you find someone killing babies, the author is always the devil. You got that? You can say, well, That is women's right of choice. The author is the devil. The devil is behind killing innocent babies. God never is in support of that. He never supports you or anyone else to have that authority to do that. So you can take all questions off the table. When you are supporting something or someone, someone asked me one time, they said, why do you vote Republican? Preachers oughtn't to be voting a certain way. I said, listen, they don't leave me a choice of which side I'm going to vote by the plank. I'm not going to vote for anybody that kills babies. It's not going to be a part of my, and if Republicans begin to kill babies, I'll find somebody else to vote for. Because I'm not going to do it. But anyway, didn't mean to get off on that. But let me say this as well. You know the story how Moses' mother, Jochebed, took and had him and hid him when he got a certain age, and how that Pharaoh's daughter came, and I think it was all God that worked it out to make it happen that way. And then she left her sister or her daughter to watch over him, and she told Pharaoh's daughter she'd get some of the Israelite women to nurse him, and went and got him or his mother. Now, why is that important? Because Moses was going to be taken into Pharaoh's house, part of Pharaoh's family. But she was able to spend time up to 12 years old with Moses. Now listen, ladies, just want to say this in passing. Many are the prisons that are full because mothers failed their opportunity to teach their children. The most precious time you have is when you have the ability to teach your children. Some of the greatest blessings has come from men that has been and people that have been taught things by their mother. Moses' mother evidently instilled things in Moses as she began to teach him. And when he went fully into Pharaoh's court, he began to learn all the customs and laws and the knowledge of wisdom. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, he learned the wisdom of the Egyptians. And in word and deed, he was very wise. But what you need to understand is don't ever underestimate or undervalue your responsibility to teach the children. Because it's really a great impact. But look on. And so you know the story how for 40 years Pharaoh or Moses was there, and how that he ended up killing an Egyptian and hiding him in the sand, and then he found out that some people had saw him, and he fled. And he fled to Midian. And there he found Jethro and ended up marrying his daughter. But look in verse 25. Verse 24, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches and the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Listen to me tonight. Let me share with you three or four things real quickly about you being used of God. You may be sitting here tonight, and you may think that it's too late for you. But I want you to understand something. It's not too late. As we saw with Moses, 40 years he had spent in Pharaoh's court. Then he left, and for 40 years, he went to the backside of the desert, keeping sheep for Jethro, before God brought him to be used to bring the children of Israel out. And what I want you to understand is, sometimes you think, well, preacher, you just don't know. You don't know what I've done. No, but God does. And even Moses, not only was he trained and educated in Pharaoh's court, he ended up killing an Egyptian, buried him in sand. And you say, well, God wouldn't use a man that would do something like that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. God is full of second chances. I was thinking last night when I saw President Trump pardon that guy. He said, I want to give you a second chance in life. Wipe your slate clean. And the Bible says about Jonah that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Came the first time and Jonah ran. Got in all kinds of trouble. And come back and God was still wanting to use him. Now listen to me. You young people, listen. God wants to do something with your life. You were born. That's the reason God allowed you to be born. Because he wants to use you, with exception of no one. God has a purpose for you if you would recognize it. But remember these four things. Let me give them to you. Number one, look at this when he chose Moses to lead his children out. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, I believe verse 3, that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. Meek, other than Jesus. Means he was humble, lowly, poor in spirit. You wouldn't think that God would use somebody like that. You say, preacher, I don't have any talents. You know, I was thinking Sunday night, some of you got up and sung, just bless my heart. And I was thinking, you know, you could have sat there, and if you sat there, you would have robbed me of a blessing. Sometimes other things that people does, it's amazing. Brother Sisson called me. Before I came to church and called me just as I got in the parking lot. And he said, please tell those boys that come out and help, those people that come out and help, how I appreciate what they did. I mean, you all blessed his heart by just being there the other day because he couldn't be there. And that blessed him. But notice this, that Moses was God's choice. Listen to me. God has chose you. People says, I'm no good for nothing. That's not true. God made you different than everybody else. But God has a purpose for you. Some of you may have been through trials and troubles growing up. Some of you may have had rough upbringings. I was thinking about that guy last night. They got pardoned. He grew up without a dad. He grew up, he was in all kinds of trouble. Got into drugs, other issues in his life. Headed down the wrong road. But he finally come to realize that God chose him too. And listen, when God chose Moses, he did it knowing exactly who Moses was. And God wants you to do something. And that he will choose you to do things. But listen to me. You'll never know the calling of God unless you get into the presence of God. That's why Moses had to get in the presence of God in the burning bush to find out what God wanted him to do. If you're never around the presence of God and never getting alone in the presence of God, you'll never understand what God's purpose in your life is. And you think, well, surely God wouldn't call me. Well, you would think the same thing about Moses. And we could look at several other people in the Bible. But God not only chose Moses, he sent Moses. He had a place that he wanted him to go. But listen, if God chooses you to do something, and sometimes some of you tell me, even some of you young people tell me, I feel like God's wanting me to,
If God is choosing you to do something and he sends you to do it, he will go with you to get it done. Do you understand? He won't let you go by yourself. If he's in it, he'll be there with you. And so you say, well, preacher, I remember when God called me to preach. I'll be honest with you, and I don't mean this derogatory, but the last thing I wanted to do, my dad was a preacher, and I saw him pastor of several churches, and I saw him go through all kinds of issues. And the last thing I wanted in my life was a preacher. As a matter of fact, I made a statement that there's no way I would ever preach. I might be something in my life, but I wouldn't be a preacher. And what I found was this. I found that one time God began to deal with me and he began to call me into the ministry. Now, I remember the night that I surrendered. I was leaving a revival service and I pulled over in a ditch line. It got so heavy. I hadn't got a mile away from church. I'd fought it for two nights and I pulled over in a ditch line. I fell in the ditch line. Now, I remember crying. I cried out to God. I said, God, there's no way I can preach. Now, I remember when he spoke to my heart and he told me this. None of them can without me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I found out that every time that God has sent me somewhere, he's went with me. Everything that God has asked me to do that I have surrendered to do, he's always been there. And it's amazing. I remember when I went to a foreign field one time, Brother Eric. I went down to Panama. I went to Costa Rica and met a missionary, and church have heard me testify this, but we was supposed to go down to the lowest parts in the southern part of Panama and preach to some Indians that week. Had a whole week meeting lined up. And we got to the border of Costa Rica and the missionary's passport was messed up and he couldn't go. And he looked at me and he said, do you want to go by yourself? And I told him, I said, I won't be alone. And I had about a 17-hour trip on a bus to take down to the mountains, down to the lower southern part of Panama. Couldn't speak the language. Had no idea where I was going. Had no idea about nothing. I called Chris and told her what I was going to do. She said, you are crazy. But see, I had someone with me. And you know what? That week ended up being one of the greatest weeks of my life. I ended up preaching four times a day. The chief one has preached about two and a half hours of time. How would you like that? Saw 136 people saved. Got to go to San Felix River and baptize 39 of them myself. Some of the greatest memories I ever had. I would have never known it had I not went. And the reason why I could go is because I felt that that's what God wanted me to go at the time. Somebody said, do you think God's calling you to? No, I don't think he did. But I know that experience in my life enriched my life. And so God not only sent Moses, but he used Moses. And he has a way of using us. But when he uses, now listen to me, when he uses you for a purpose that he wants, he will be glorified, you won't be. You understand me? God don't use you to glorify you. And by the way, all these people running around on TV stands in these thousands and multi-thousand dollar suits, glorifying themselves, that's not the way God operates. If God wants to use you, he'll use you to glorify him. So you say, preacher, it's impossible that God will call me. No, it's not. Moses said, who am I? He realized there was nothing that he had. But see, what you are not God is. And so God can use you, and even you young people. You think sometimes you think that you have to be. Some of the greatest revivals we had in this church is when the young people got revived and started bringing their friends in, and we'd see 20, 25 people get saved. No one can work like you all can. Whenever I left the southern part of Panama, a preacher asked me to come up and preach at the northern part of Panama. I went and preached. He run an attendance of 700 people. Everybody but about 30 people was under the age of 30. And you know what they did every Saturday? They went out and they beat the bushes. And they knocked on every house door around and invited people to church every Sunday. That's why they filled that church house. I preached that night, and I guess we probably had 450 people on the altar. I'll never forget it. But listen, what you're not, God is. So don't ever think it's impossible that God might use you, because He will. Next thing I want you to understand is this. You say, well, how about the foe? I mean, the Bible tells us Pharaoh, he was the greatest, he was the greatest nation. He was king of basically the known world at that time. He had all kinds of power. And it seems insurmountable that you could face that foe. But you see, that foe is impossible with you. And by the way, if you ever get ready to do something for God, can I let you in on a little secret what I found with God? The Bible says the trying of your faith is His precious gold. When He calls you and He wants to use you to do something, He will put you through trials. And you'll not understand. Sometimes what you'll end up doing is say, He must be trying to talk me out of it. But what you may not realize is the trying of your faith is His precious gold. When I first came down this church, we began to see people saved. Then I had one of the greatest battles I ever had. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to quit, walk off. And I began to pray, and God said, He gave me a verse, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I began to wait for God to deal with that matter. And He took care of it in ways that I would have never thought He would take care of it. But you know the amazing thing is? I'm no match for the devil. And if you start trying to do something for the Lord, the devil will come and do his best to deter you away from there. You say, well, preacher, I can't handle it. That's why the Bible says resist the devil. It says draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. It says resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. The devil is no match for you, or you're no match for the devil, but he's no match for God. And so when Moses looked, he began to make excuses when he saw that God wanted him to go and challenge Pharaoh. Well, he didn't even know about the children of Israel. Well, who do I tell them that is sent me? Just tell them I am that I am. That's who sent you. And you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, Moses says, "How? What if they don't listen?" He said, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "It's a rod." He says, "Cast it down." It turned into serpent. He said, stick your hand in your bosom. He stuck his hand in the bosom. Pulled it out. It's leprous. He said, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I'll be with you. And you young people, listen to me. All you people. Don't think that you can't do something for God in your life. You may say, I've already crossed the bridge. I've messed my life up. There's no better time than now. And I was thinking, what a testimony of that man last night and that woman in Planned Parenthood. Both of them went down the wrong roads, did many things, and it's probably unreal what some things that they did. But both of them came to themselves like the prodigal son. And they turned to the Lord, and the Lord didn't say, look what you've done. Get out of here. He stood there with open arms like the father did the prodigal. See, come, let me put a ring on your finger and fall upon your neck and kiss you. But I want you young people to understand something. This old world is more evil than we've ever seen it in our existence. You all got things to face that we never thought we would ever see when we were growing up. You don't even have a good understanding. Most of you don't even have a good understanding what family is all about, because our families have been torn to shreds. Our homes. And it's hard to understand. But I want you to understand something. The devil is no match when God has asked you to do something. And you trust him. And you can make such an impact by your life. You never know what impact you'll make. Now, the last thing I want to say is this. Not only do you have an enemy that seems impossible, not only do you think that maybe God choosing you of all people is impossible, but the things sometimes that God asks you to do. You know what God did to Moses? He got the children of Israel, he took them down, and all of a sudden he looked and he had mountains on both sides. He had the Red Sea. And by the way, the best I understand the Red Sea at that point, it is several thousand feet deep. It's about 3 miles across. And therefore, it's like looking in the ocean. When you look into the water, all you see is water. And you know what God said? He said, be still and see the salvation of God. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to go cross. Now he said, I want you to go forward. Here Moses and the children of Israel are going to go forward. And God said, when you go forward, what I'm going to do is I want you to go forward and I'm going to dry the ground up and you're going to walk across on dry ground. You say, it seems impossible. Can I tell you something? There have been things that has happened that seems impossible. And God has showed himself off. I was telling Brother Greg, and we were talking about it. When this pandemic hit, and we had to hold off from meeting for just a little bit, got down to $100, something, $200 at the most, about $100 in church. And that was the week before the first week of the pandemic. And we talked. What are we going to do if people don't send in their tithes? What are we going to do to pay the light bills? All we can do is trust God. The first week, and I don't know where it came from. I've never asked him or I've never asked Brother Junior. The first week, $4,500. The second week, $3,600. And from that week on, it's never stopped, has it? It's been like the oil, and we were fixing to have to, and we still have to, do this water line, and we thought, where are we going to get the money to do the water line? And God has provided it all. You know why? God never stops doing the impossible. And so, tonight, I want you to realize, you don't have to be a Moses. And you may think, me? It's impossible for God to use me. It's impossible that I would go out and have to perform that task and face the enemy. It's impossible what he's asking me to do. But Jesus said it best. With men, it is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And so therefore, everyone here, God allowed you to be born that through your life you would glorify him. And you say, well, preacher, I've missed the boat. Well, then maybe tonight is the night that you need to turn and say, I need to turn and start serving him. And God may lay something upon your heart. Would you come tonight as we stand? Get a song of invitation. Isn't it good to know that you serve such a mighty God? It's not you. It's all him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know what he says in verse 6? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, when you seek what he would have you to do, he rewards you by doing that. And you know, I really believe the situation we was telling you about the church. I believe if we just said, well, it's impossible, we might as well just close the doors like some churches did, I believe our church would just been closed. But because we turned to him and said, God, we got to have you to help us. Speak to somebody's heart. Speak to the heart of our people. And you know what? He's been faithful ever since. And it's just been like a fountain running. What a blessing it is, amen. Let's sing, Brother Jess. There's a great deep.